God is at work. And he's at work all the time. He's at work the other 6 days, not just Sunday. And the other 6 days is the title of our current sermon series. Andy looked last week at the design and dignity of work. And over the course of 6 weeks, we want to look at God's plan for work, our problems with work, and the gospel and work. And this next slide, please, Harvey. So God's plan for work, our problems with work, and the gospel and work. And so this is the second one of God's plan for work. And I want to look at work, our work as service, work as service. Now this series is based on a book called Every Good Endeavor, which is written by Tim Keller. Tim Keller is a very good Bible teacher, speaker. He's a leader of a big church in New York City. And a week on Tuesday, he's going to be the keynote speaker at the National Prayer Breakfast at the Houses of Parliament. And I've been invited to attend, and I appreciate your prayers for that. I'll be having breakfast with our MP, Robert Courts. Tim Keller will be speaking. And please do pray that breakfast would be powerful as the MP, a number of MPs will come along, and that what Tim Keller will say would really speak into their hearts and lives. Why are we looking at a sermon series on work? Well, because it's really important. We all do it. God isn't just interested in your life for a couple of hours on a Sunday, maybe an hour in midweek when you attend a Connect group. He's interested in the whole of our lives. And we're not just talking about paid work here. We're talking about, Andy helpfully substituted the word work, tasks for work. We all have tasks. We all have things to do every day. And God is interested in all of them. And we should be living our lives differently, recognizing that God is at work in us and through us to bring his kingdom on earth as in heaven. If you're a Christian, then on Monday morning, your purpose as you approach your tasks, your work, should be different to that of your colleagues, to those sitting around you. You have a calling. You have a calling. And I want to look at a moment, for a moment or two, at some verses, particularly from Paul, but also from Peter, where we gain more insight about how God provides purpose for our work by calling us to serve the world. He calls us to serve the world. Last week, Andy mentioned that the word vocation comes from vocare, to call. Vocare, to call. But in the Bible, the Greek term that is translated calling is kallio. Kallio means calling, calling. And it's usually used to describe the way that God calls us into a saving relationship with Jesus. God calls us to become part of the family of God, to be in relationship with Jesus. So 1 Corinthians 9 says this, God is faithful who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. God has called you into fellowship with Jesus. But it's also a call to reach the world with his message. So 1 Peter 2, verse 9, the same word is used in this passage. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. God called you. He called you for a purpose. He called you into relationship with Jesus. He called you that you might declare his praises because you were called out of darkness into his wonderful light. He calls us. And it's not just an individual calling. It's a corporate calling. We are called into a body. I struggle when people don't understand that faith is a thing for us as in a body as well. So in Colossians 3, verse 15, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. It's what God does. He calls people. He calls people. And many of us here will remember a time, the first time, when he called us. When he called us by name. When he called us from darkness into light. When he called us into community. When he called us. And the Greek word for church is ecclesia. It's got the same root word. And it means ones called out. Ones called out. Ecclesia. I think I've got this on the slide as well. Church equals ecclesia. Ones called out. We are called out. We are called together. And we are called for a purpose. And in 1 Corinthians 7, Paul counsels his readers that when they become Christians, it's unnecessary to change what they're currently doing in life. They don't have to change their marital status, their social status, or their job. Rather, he calls them into the situation they're in. So in 1 Corinthians 7, verse 17, says this: "Nevertheless, each person should live as a believer in whatever situation the Lord has assigned to them, just as God has called them. This is the rule I lay down in all the churches." And Paul uses here two religious words. He uses two religious words to describe work. Okay, so he uses these words, which elsewhere, elsewhere they have a religious significance, and he uses them to describe ordinary work. Elsewhere, Paul has spoken, I've read some of the verses already, of our calling, that we are called into relationship with Jesus. We are called into faith. And then he also talks about assigning people spiritual gifts, assigning them gifts to do ministry and to build up the church community. Calling and assignment. Christians are called and they are assigned. And in this passage, he uses the same two words when he says that every Christian should remain in the work God has assigned to them and to which God has called them. And he's not referring to church ministry, but to common social and economic tasks, the things that we do every day. He calls us and assigns us. Things you're going to be doing tomorrow, they are callings. They are callings. And Robert Beller, who, again, I think Andy quoted last week, says a vocation or a calling is a contribution to the good of all and not merely a means to one's own advancement. And this is the heart of calling. Calling is about the benefit to others, not just to myself. Calling to make a difference in the world. And the Bible teaches us to view work as God's assignment to serve others. Our work should be an opportunity to serve others. So when we approach our work, we shouldn't be asking what will make me the most money or give me the most status, but rather this is the question we should be asking. How, with my existing abilities and opportunities, can I be of greatest service to other people, knowing what I do of God's will and of human need? I'm going to read that again. How, with my existing abilities and opportunities, can I be of greatest service to other people, knowing what I do of God's will and of human need? And this is a revolutionary understanding of the purpose of work in our world. See, work's not about status. It's not about how much money I can earn. It's about how every day I can make a difference for God by serving other people. Now, I want you to imagine for a second that you are Clark Kent or Diana Prince. There they are. You may know them better as Superman or Wonder Woman. I just want you to imagine that you're one of those. You can choose whichever one you like. I'm going to go with Clark Kent. Just sort of seems to work better for me. Mild-mannered journalist, dressed in his journalist outfit, but he's got a different worldview. He knows that the world is different. His understanding of the world is different. He had a bigger picture of the part that he is playing in the world. And he knows that when there's a catastrophe or a crisis, he will run into a phone box. He will discard his clothes. And he will become... I always used to worry about what happened to his clothes. anybody else? Yeah, it was not just me. No, maybe a bit me, but, you know, leave them in the phone book. Anyway, but he will come. Superman. Is it a bird? Is it a plane? No, it's Superman. Now, I'm not proposing that on Monday morning, you're looking for an opportunity to run into a phone box. Phone box? Some of you young people are saying, what is this thing you're talking about, Grandad? Phone box? But no, don't run into a phone box, rip off all your clothes and have a Superman or Wonder Woman outfit on underneath. If you do that, you are likely to be unemployed this time next week. Don't do that. Don't do that. But whether you're a homemaker, a carer, a teacher, a bank manager, if you're unemployed, self-employed, not employed, retired, there is a bigger picture at stake. You have a mission to be part of. You can be a revolutionary. Join the revolution. Protest by living differently and recognizing you have a different purpose to those around you who are living for themselves. If you understand your work properly, then you will believe and understand that tomorrow you are doing God's work. You are doing God's work. Now, in medieval times, there was a German monk called Martin Luther. Not to be confused with Martin Luther King, the civil rights activist in the 1960s. Here's Martin Luther's picture, hopefully. Martin Luther's picture, there we go. Not easily confused. Now, this Martin Luther lived 500 years ago and basically got fed up with the rules that the church at the time were imposing on people. And we're talking the early 1500s, and the church actually made it harder for people to encounter Jesus. They put rules in that made it really difficult for uneducated people to understand the gospel, the good news about Jesus. The Bible, for instance, was written only in Latin, and you could only read Latin if you were very educated. In fact, you could only read if you were pretty educated in the 1500s. It was written in Latin, so you couldn't read it. You couldn't read about God for yourself. And the church was almost guilty of keeping people away from God. And he protested about this. He protested. This was wrong. Should we keep people away from God? And so he protested, and so, in so doing, he started a protest movement. A protest movement against the church of the day and the rules that they were living and the way they were living. And he translated the Bible into German from Latin. Remember, he was German, so this was helpful. It wouldn't have been helpful for us if, because we can't speak German. But for him, it was helpful. He translated it into German from Latin so that the people of his country could read the Bible. They could read it for themselves. They could see what God was saying to them. So this protest movement that he started was the start of something called the Protestant Reformation. And it's where the Protestant church came from. He had an incredible understanding of work as a calling. That your work is a calling. He actually translated that verse in 1 Corinthians that I described as calling. He translated it as occupation. The German word for occupation. And one of his protests about the church back then was that they believed they were God's kingdom on earth. Therefore, only work in and for the church qualified as God's work. Priests and monks were spiritual and closer to God because of their holy work. And Luther was like, duh, that's not right. That's not true. Martin Luther's big thing was that you can't do anything to work your way to God. It doesn't impress God if you're a vicar, if you've got a big salary or a big house, or you're important in the world's eyes. What impresses God is if you love your neighbor as yourself. And he argued that God calls every Christian equally to their work. And one of the foundations of this Protestant Reformation, to which Luther's contributions were so important, was a doctrine. A doctrine is an understanding, a biblical understanding. And it's the doctrine of justification by faith alone. And forgive me, those are long words, and some of you go, whoa, Simon, it's 7:30 on a Sunday evening, and you're talking about doctrine of justification by faith alone. But basically, what that means is you can't earn your way to God. You can't just be a good person, and by being a good person, you get to God. The salvation only comes by grace. Only comes by what God gives to us. His grace, his love to us. He does all the work in it. But what we can be part of is bringing his kingdom on earth as in heaven. We can only accept his grace. We can only say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I love you. I thank you for your love for me. I accept your grace. I accept salvation. We can accept it. We can't earn it. There's nothing we can do to earn it. But we can be part of bringing his kingdom on earth. And we do that by loving and serving our neighbors through the way we live and the way we work. Imagine a world where everyone loved their neighbors as themselves. No more crime. No more hatred. No more hunger. Imagine that world. That's the world Jesus calls us to bring in on earth as in heaven. That's the kingdom of God. That's the revolution we're part of. And in Matthew 20, verse 25, the kingdom flourishing is found in serving. It's found in serving. Jesus called them together and said, you know, the rulers of the Gentiles lorded over them. Their high officials exercised authority over them. Not so with you. He said, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. So what does this service stuff look like? It looks like living differently. It looks like living out with looking for opportunities to bless others, to serve others, to encourage others, such that they might go, is it a bird? Is it a plane? No, it's a Christian living out their calling. Sorry, it was terrible this morning. It's still terrible now. But we want to surprise people with how we live our lives, that we live our lives differently, that we're not the same as everyone else, but that we live our lives differently. Silly example of this was Sue loves shopping online, getting it delivered to a shop in any shop in Whitney, then picking it up, trying it on, and usually sending it back. It's sort of a game. It means we don't have to leave Whitney, so that's fine. And she particularly loves Fat Face, and so she was shopping at Fat Face, and she put quite a big order in Fat Face. She did, after I told the story this morning, said, you need to say that I did send most of that back, and I was only buying a few, so they were different sizes, and all of that. So just now that I've made that straight, I won't be in as much trouble this evening. But she did an order from Fat Face for about £100, and it just got lost. 2 weeks later, nothing. She'd run customer service a couple of times, and so they said, oh, look, we'll credit your card. You give it all back. That's fine. So thought nothing more of it, and then a week later, got the email saying it arrived at the store in Whitney. So she sent me down to pick it up, and I happened to be wearing my dog collar, my clerical collar, headed down, knowing full well now that our credit card had been credited, so we hadn't paid for these things. So I turn up at Fat Face, and they hand them over, and I say, oh, I need to pay for them. I said, no, you don't. You don't need to pay for them. You've paid for them already. No, I said, no, we haven't. I need to pay for them. Are you sure you need to pay for them? Yeah, I really am sure I need to pay for them. And she looked at me, and I kid you not, she said, that's very honest of you. I'm wearing my dog collar. And I said, well, I am a vicar. And I thought, you don't expect vicars to be honest. You don't expect anyone to be honest. You know, and that's actually our society now. It doesn't expect honesty. It doesn't expect kindness. It doesn't expect encouragement. It doesn't expect service. It expects cynicism. It expects criticism. It expects blame. It doesn't expect love. And that's how we're different. That's how we need to live differently, to demonstrate God working through us. So how can you serve? Well, think now of who you're going to see tomorrow. Think of who you're going to see. Whether it's a colleague, a child that you're teaching, someone who works for you, a shop assistant. How are you, through your tasks and work, going to serve them in such a way that they would be surprised? They would be surprised by God's love working through you in that situation. That they would go, Why are you doing that? Why did you just do that? And you would go, well, my work is a calling from God to serve you. Now, you wouldn't do that because they'd think you're weirder than you already are. Well, they already think you are. Well, anyway, but that's what it's about. We want people to be surprised because we're different, because we have a call to serve and to love in a different way and demonstrate a different way of being in our world. So surprise people tomorrow. Empty the bin when it's not your turn. Make the office clean or a cup of tea. Tomorrow, you've got an opportunity to make a difference. You can bumble along, live life as normal. Nothing's different. Nothing's going to happen. Or you can determine to go and fulfill your calling by serving others. Today, I'm going to be revolutionary, extraordinary. I'm going to surprise people with my grace because I know God's grace. Wouldn't it be great if next week, it won't be next week, sorry, we don't have an evening service next week, the week after, we had the best surprise stories. The best surprise stories where someone has been surprised by your grace and you're able to share a story of God's grace surprising someone. Let's see if we can do it. I'm gonna finish now with three things. Just three things. I was praying about this. I just sense for some of us tonight. Some of you, you've lost sight of your calling. You've lost sight of it. You might be a teacher, a doctor, a carer, a parent. You remember why you went into that in the first place. You had a calling towards it, but you've lost sight of why you do what you do. It's just become a job. It's just become bill paying, and you've lost sight of that calling. And I believe God wants to remind some of you of that calling. For others, and I don't think this is many, but for one or two, it may be that you're doing your job for completely the wrong reasons. And it's time to think again of what God is calling you to. And for all of us, we can ask the question, who can you serve tomorrow? Who can I serve tomorrow? How can I serve colleagues, the people who work for me, the people I work with, people I meet around Whitney? How can I do that? Final verse, Ephesians 4, verse 2. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Would you stand if you're able as I pray for you and for us? Lord Jesus, thank you for the calling on each of our lives. That you call us from darkness to light. You call us to be part of a body. You call us to give us a purpose. And Father, for some of us tonight, maybe we're struggling to see what that purpose is. But wherever you've placed us, wherever you've assigned us, we can bring your grace, your hope, your love into that situation. And so, Lord, would you open our eyes to what you are doing in our world? Would you open our eyes as we go into our work tomorrow, as we go into our tasks? Would you open our eyes and help us to serve those around us in such a way that the grace that we have received from you might shine out of us into your world? We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.